You're listening to the Island Church Podcast. If you'd like more information or to donate to this ministry, visit islandchurch.tv.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you on this beautiful fall morning. A little rain, a lot of humidity. What a day, huh? And it's good to be in church. Well, this morning, John 8, verses 12 through 20, it says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying," and let's declare this together. This is the key part of this verse. "I am the light of," one more time, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I am going." But back one, there we go. I have a lot of the Bible memorized, but not all of it, okay? "But you know where I come from, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going." Hold it right there for just a second. I love this. When Jesus said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. Don't you love that? Because see, that's what happens when we receive Jesus. The big questions of life, where did I come from? You know, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And Jesus said, I know those things. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. So he is the answer to life. Okay, let's go to the next screen. "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witnesses about myself. They said to him, therefore, where's your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Amen. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Well, Father, thank you for your word. This morning, we're going to declare this as part of the message, and we pray this at the outset. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Help us to hide your word in our heart that we will not sin against you. Lord, we need you. I'm desperate for you. I pray for your grace and your anointing to communicate clearly the gospel, the good news. I pray that we'll see Jesus. I pray that the light will come on. We commit these moments to you. Bless our ladies as they make their journey home. Bless Pastor Matt and Paige in this transition time. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you for how they have blessed this church, overwhelmed this church with strong leadership and with compassionate leadership. Continue to use them, open the doors to put them in the place where you have for them. Lord, thank you for the miracle that's in Amy. Thank you for the surgery that took place and that it wasn't what the doctors anticipated. They had it that it was gonna be much worse, but you worked and it wasn't as bad, but yet, Lord, we're still talking brain surgery and we're talking about serious matters. We speak healing today over Amy, and we thank you that by your stripes we were and we are healed in the authority and name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray blessing in this hour in Jesus' name, and everyone would say amen and amen. There are many names for God in the Bible, but one of the great names, one of the names that just grabs a hold and it seems to give such definition is when Moses is being called to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he feels like, how can I do this? I mean, I'm such a failure, and God, I need someone to help me. And who am I going to tell them? Who will I say sent me? And the Bible says in Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people, I am has sent me to you. It literally means this, I exist and I will always exist. I love that. I am that I am. Jesus liked that name, I am. 45 times in John's gospel do you see this, I am. Out of those 45 uses of I am, 7 instances where Jesus says I am something or I am someone. In John chapter 6, you remember the message we preached when he said, I am the bread of life. So he's the one who sustains us. He's the one who quenches and who fills us up spiritually. Well, now this morning we see this. He says, I am the light of the world. This passage speaks about light and life. Light and life. And where there's light, there is life. God has arranged our days in a way that there are hours of sunlight to wake and live, and then he turns off the light by rotating the earth so that we're in the shadow of the sun. He gives us night so we can sleep and so we can recharge our batteries. Think about this. For thousands of years, people had to rely on torches. They had to rely on lanterns. They had to rely on candles to provide light for them during the nighttime. It's only been in the last 100 years that electricity has spread to every part of the planet. And we see it. We see satellite images. We're preaching part 2 of this next week, and I'd already planned to have satellite images. I'll show you some of the earth, and you can see the concentration of where people live by the light, by how it's illuminated across this world. Liz and I, Pastor Luke and Michelle, a few years ago, went to China, to Dandong, China, which is on the Yalu River, just across from North Korea. A friend of mine who was a part of my church in California, Dr. Park, is Chinese, Korean, and was educated in America, was a doctor out in California, has a heart for North Korea, has family ties to North Korea, and so God put in his heart to build a hospital in North Korea. And he has literally done that, a 600-bed hospital that's built in North Korea. North Korea will kick him out, and then when they run it down and empty it out, they'll call him and have him come back, and he'll replenish it. It's a very unique relationship. He also built a hospital in Dandong, and it is an American hospital because he's American. The doctors that work in it are Korean. South Korean and American. And so because it's considered an American hospital, they were able to invite us to come and do religious services in China. So as long as we were within the hospital, we could preach and we could worship, we could proclaim, we just couldn't proselytize outside. North Koreans come into that hospital. The network of how, because they come across the river, they have work passes, and they come into China to work and back. They'll make their way to the hospital where they'll memorize the Bible because they can't be caught with a Bible. They'll be killed on the spot. So they memorize the Bible to get it in their mind because they can't literally have it. And it's an incredible ministry that takes place. Here's something fascinating, though. When you stand on the waterfront in Dandong, and the Yalu River's right there, and we took a prayer boat ride up and down the river there and prayed over North Korea. And I would be so close, just 15, 20 feet away. Donnie, I'm closest from me to you. There would be North Koreans right there working. It was like a step back in time. There would be an ox and there would be hoes and there would be horse-drawn carts and all dressed in dark clothes. I would wave. Some of them would wave at me. Some of them would not. And we're praying that God would tear down that dark wall of North Korea. At night, when you look up and down the riverfront in Dandong, it looks like Las Vegas. The lights, colorful, bright, amazing. You look across into North Korea, you see just a scattering. They had one little area where they literally cut out a carnival. It was a big Ferris wheel, but it was one-dimensional. It was a cardboard cutout, wood cutout, to make you think they had a carnival, make you think they had a Ferris wheel, make you think they had a merry-go-round, and they would play some music, but there was no one there and there was nothing there. It was like a Hollywood set. Light, darkness. That's how we are spiritually. It's that distinct, that light and that darkness. There's a direct connection between light and life. No life. North Korea, oppression, no life. And China, they've got their rules, but there is a dynamic and there's a life that was happening there. Well, I want to talk to us spiritually speaking. I want to share with you how Jesus brings life and light, light and life into our dark world. Because without Jesus, we are filled with darkness. Understand that. We cannot produce light. It's not natural. We can't work it up. We can't buy it. Because spiritually, we are in darkness. And Jesus is making a powerful declaration and promise. I'm the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Let me go through this. Jesus, light, number one, overcomes darkness. Jesus, light, overcomes darkness. I am the light of the world. Real quick, man does not possess light. It's not within him. It's not by natural means. How about this? Man is delivered out of darkness. Even in our singing of Amazing Grace. You know, we're brought out of death, out of darkness, out of blindness, into this marvelous light. And so we're delivered out of darkness. And let me say this, following Jesus, it's not a one-time I prayed a prayer. Everybody know that? I just want to make sure. We talk about it often. We talk about being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. What does the scripture say here? In verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, say it with me, whoever follows me. A disciple is a follower, a learner. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So it's a continually following Jesus. So I'm continually receiving light. Every day, I need more light. Every day, illuminate, Lord, the light of life. Man is in darkness. Until he follows Christ, he's in darkness. And he has no purpose and he has no significance in life. You know what? Money can't be our driving purpose in life. God gives people the gift to be able to make money. God's not against money. He's against the love of money, but he's not against money. It takes money to do ministry. It takes money to live. But when people say their life is all about, if I just had money, there's the idea, if I could just win the lottery, that's not the answer. There is no purpose and no significance in life apart from Jesus Christ. We're complete in him. When we say darkness, when we talk about darkness, it refers to natural man. Darkness symbolizes an unpreparedness, not being watchful. Darkness symbolizes evil. What does the Bible say in John 3, verses 19 and 20? Let me read it to you. We preached about this at the outset, John 3, 19 and 20. And this is the judgment, that light has come to the world and people love the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. See, natural man likes darkness because natural man is evil. And so we lean toward darkness. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light, lest we should be exposed. A lot of people don't come to Jesus until they get found out. Thank God, in his grace, he lets some things get found out, so we come to him, amen? But it says, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Men love darkness rather than light. We gravitate toward darkness. I think about this. I think about whenever I was at youth camp as a kid. My dad's a camp director. Man, my dad was my pastor. My dad was my youth pastor. Then when I go to youth camp, my dad is my youth camp director. He's my baseball coach. He's my basketball coach. He set up life so I couldn't get away from him. But he wanted to influence my life for the things of God. But I can remember him saying, now after service tonight, you go down here to the snack shack and I want you to stay in the light. I want you, none of you couples get off in the dark. You stay in the light. Wasn't me, but my friends always wanted to get off in the dark a little bit. Asking for a friend, talking about a friend. You don't want to stay in the light, want to go where the shadows are a little bit. Isn't it interesting? We gravitate toward darkness. Jesus came to expose, he came to bring us light. Think about it this way. This is so, isn't God's word amazing? Don't you love God's word? Amen. How many are glad you came to church? How many love the preaching of God's word? Amen. I do too. What's this? Genesis 1, 3 through 5. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. All right, let there be light. Let there be light. Keep that in mind. Now, John chapter 1, we preach this. We're walking through the book of John. We preach this to start with. John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow. Luke wrote a song about the light and the darkness. We're going to sing it next Sunday as we continue through this passage. But he wrote it in light of this verse and in light of this series that we're doing. It's an amazing song that talks about how that light could not be overcome by darkness. Right out of Scripture. Think of this. God gave us the sun to overcome the darkness of this earth, to give us daylight, then give us some shadow so we could rest, recharge, but he gave us the sun, the S-U-N. I'm glad for the S-U-N. I like sunny days, amen? And then he also gave us the sun, the S-O-N, to overcome darkness. Because I can't overcome darkness myself. I gravitate toward darkness. evil things. It tends to happen when at night men love darkness more than they do light. And so Jesus' light, what does it do? It overcomes darkness. Thank God that light is greater than darkness. This room can be pitch black. Turn the light on and darkness has to go. My life can be dark. My heart can be dark. But when Jesus shines his light, I receive Jesus. Darkness cannot stay. Light is dominant over darkness. Amen. Jesus is dominant over the devil. Light over darkness. So Jesus' light overcomes darkness. I've got to hustle here. Secondly, Jesus' light illuminates. I never cease to be amazed at the timing and just of the incredible understanding of Jesus, of when to do things and how to do things. The second point, Jesus' light illuminates. It's interesting when Jesus said that, when he said this particular statement. Recently we preached this. They're at their feast, and Jesus stands up on the last day, the great day. And this was the day they didn't pour the water out. And you know, every day they would pour the water out and the priest would make a declaration about the greatness of God. But on the last day, the great day, they didn't pour the water out. But on that day, Jesus stood up and he poured out water. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and let him drink. And out of his innermost being will flow a river of living water. And he did it at the perfect time when everyone would have been drawn there. And he said it to bring a distinction in between the religious perfunctorial exercise and the reality of a dynamic relationship. Well, now Jesus is making this statement about light, and he does it during the Feast of Tabernacles. He's standing in the temple courts. You know, this temple area is about 37 acres in size. He's near the courts of the treasury. And during the tabernacles, the feast, the Jews celebrated this ritual that was called the temple illumination. The temple illumination was this. They had four poles set. These things were 70 feet tall. They had about 5-gallon containers of olive oil. And for a wick, they would take the priest's old clothes and create a wick. And during this celebration, this is what's interesting, I thought, the young priest would climb the pole. 70 foot's pretty good height to be climbing, I guess. And the young priest would climb up and would light it. Not only did it light up the temple courts, they said it would light up practically all of Jerusalem. This light was so bright. Think about this. It was at that moment they had lit, everything is all lit up. Jesus steps out by one of these poles and he makes this statement. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I know you're celebrating, and I know it's a good celebration, and I know you're celebrating the fact that there was a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through Egypt. But I want you to know, I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness. And like these four pillars, like these four buckets of oil, four lanterns light up, I want you to know that I can illuminate lives and I can illuminate your life. Wow! Is that not amazing? He's drawing attention to perfect time. I'm the light of the world. They're trying to light up. They're trying to celebrate. And he says, let me tell you what this whole thing, what the whole deliverance, what all that Egypt thing, let me tell you what it was all about. It's all about this moment. You're celebrating the past, but understand, this is really about me, and it's about the present and the future. I am the light of the world. And I am the one that you need to come to. And if you will follow after me, you're no longer going to walk in darkness. I love that. I love that. I love the timing of God, the power of that moment, what he was saying. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and the light was so low you couldn't read the menu? Little theory on that. The darker the restaurant, the higher the price. They turn the lights down because they don't want you to see how much it's costing you. But here's what 21st century living. Man, I've got this little computer right here. This is amazing. Little thing's amazing. I just got a new one because my other one, Siri, quit. And boy, it's tough when you're trying to get directions or call people going down the road. And I had a 7, and I thought I had paid for a phone. I thought, I'm going to do that thing where you prepay type thing. And I thought, well, that's a waste of money, but I did it. Well, anyway, I haven't got a new phone in like 3 years. And so they said, man, the new ones just came out. And they're like, they cost like $1 million, and you can have one. And I said, hey, I think I already paid for one. He looked it up, and so all I had to pay was sales tax, which was $500,000 for that. But even on the front, right there, it's got the little flashlight, right? I don't even have to go to, I got it right there, boom, flashlight. So now when I go to those expensive restaurants, I can just read all the menu. Hey, look, there's Jay, Jay and Regina, right over there. I see him? You know, you can, no, I'm just joking about that. But you can see everything. The light illuminates the darkness, drives the darkness away. Folks, this is what Jesus does. Jesus illuminates our path. He illuminates our life. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father except by him. What's he do? He shows us the way to God. Jesus is the way to God. Holy Spirit brings conviction. Jesus, we're drawn. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen? What's he doing? He is illuminating in darkness. We can't see. It's like the Word of God. When you don't know Jesus and you read the Bible, it doesn't make it as much sense. There's some principles there. There's some things. The primary message, if you're here, you read the Bible or not, primary message, if you don't know Jesus, is you need to receive Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. That's the one message from the Bible. He wants to get that across to us. But here's what he does. He illuminates, he draws, he begins to show us our need. And then when he shines his light on the Word, what happens? It's like, wow, I've never seen that before. I've had people literally say this. It's like someone turned the light on. Have you heard that? You know why? He did. He turned the light on. That's what Jesus does. He illuminates because naturally we're dark in our natural minds. Natural mind does not comprehend the things of the Spirit. But when he shines his light, all of a sudden, oh, the light came on. And God makes sense out of life and God makes sense out of his Word. Somebody say a big amen. Yeah. Okay, let me wrap this up. Here's what happens. He exposes. Jesus' light exposes. He exposes sin in our life. We think that our deeds in darkness are hidden from everyone else, but God sees and God knows. Amen? Do we also know that? See, his light shines into our heart to reveal sin. Mark 4 and verse 20. Verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. We think we're getting away with it. Listen to me, we're not. You think you're getting away. You got your secret sin. You think you're getting away with it. Listen to me. You're not. And God can bring it to light that fast. In fact, he says in his word, nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. It will be made manifest. Look and listen to me. It's coming out. That's why I would say, if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, I'd run to an altar and say, oh, God, have mercy on me. And God, let me deal with this with your mercy and grace before you have to expose me to everyone. Hello? Bible says, humble yourself under the hand of God. To humble ourselves. Let's take this just a step further. You know, I've heard people say, well, you can fool others, but you can't fool yourself. Not according to Scripture. James 1 and verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, self-deception. Everybody, wake up. If you've been sleeping, thank God you got a good little rest. Now, we're going to close. Hear this, everyone thinks that they're getting away with it. Self-deception happens when you think no one knows your secret sins. That's self-deception. When you think you've gotten away with it, the truth is you can fool others and you can fool yourself. And the truth is, you can't fool God. You can't fool God. So again, I say, conviction is the most wonderful gift from God. It's not condemnation. He didn't come to condemn you and push you away. He came. What's Isaiah say? He said, God's ear is not deaf, his arm is not short, but it is our sin that has separated us from God. So what do? We get things right with God. Is there sin? Is there private sin? You know, and in 21st century church, nobody, you know, all this political correctness and nobody, you know, people don't give all our calls. We give all our calls. I still believe there's great value in stepping out from where we are, coming to an altar and confessing before God. I'm not asking you to confess to me, but I believe there's something about confessing before God. We want to hold this secret, and then we want to repent secretly. And I'm glad that God doesn't just blab everything that I tell him to everyone else. How many are glad about that? Amen? But there is something about humbling ourselves before God's humility and saying, oh, God, have mercy on me. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins. Come on, help me here. Amen? I need to repent. Repentance is not just for sinners. That's a big misnomer. Sinners repent. No, God help me to have a spirit of repentance, because a spirit of repentance keeps me humble, and it keeps me pliable, and it keeps me close to God. And I don't want to be distant from God. I want to be close to him. Here's what repentance does. It keeps me from being arrogant. It keeps me from being arrogant, keeps me humble, keeps my feet. Aren't you thankful that up here on this big silver screen that he's not put all of our thoughts and all of our words and all the things that we've said and all the hate that we've spewed up here, and we're all gonna watch it today. We're gonna watch what each other's thought, what each other's had in our heart, what our intent was. We're gonna watch that all today. How many are glad we're not watching that today? In reality, if we really believe that, I'm glad we're not watching that today. Cause our heart to be humble, have a little bit more repentance, take a little bit of the spiritual arrogant swagger out of our life so that we don't act like we're God Almighty so great. Come on. Might make a little bit of difference. Might make a little difference in how we treat people and how we're compassionate to people. Oh God, but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God, who do I think I am? I am desperate for him. That's the place we want to be. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close there. Isn't God's word amazing? It closes out with he guides us. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But light guides us. How many in this room, you're looking, you're seeking God's will. You're seeking him for a specific direction in your life. Anybody? Here's what I want you to know. Get close to God. I was in youth ministry for years and years and years. And I've often thought, maybe I should resign being pastor and become the youth pastor. Because I thought, you start out youth pastoring, you get old, you be a pastor, and then you fade away being a youth pastor. What a way to go. But I loved youth ministry. I still do. I'm pastoring this church in large part because of youth ministry. I was pastoring in Illinois, and roundabout way, God opened the door years and years ago for me to come and do a week of youth camp at the Alabama youth camps and made a connection. I was a fill-in for a guy whose mother-in-law had passed away, and somehow they got my name, and I ended up coming down and doing like 7 years of youth camp, and I think that in part opened up a lot of doors for me to even be here today. But used to tell kids, you know, youth ministry or the will of God to youth becomes crisis. I gotta know. What's God's will? What's God's will? And I used to tell kids this, know God, you'll know his will. That it's not crisis, that there's big decisions that we make, but if we're really pursuing him, when you know the heart of God, you know what he desires and wants. And I would say even today, it's not just God, should I sell my house or should I not? Should I take this job or should I not? Should I confront this situation or should I not? It's more, God, I want to know you. And I want to pursue you. And God, shine your light. Let your light so illuminate my path so that I just know. Even though there's chaos and even though there's some uncertainty on the outside, in my heart, in my spirit, there is an abiding peace that God is leading me and that God is in control. All hell might be breaking loose, but God is in control. And I know that I am following step by step by step. You want to know his plan. Know him, know his light. Thank God. Maybe you're here today and he's shining his light on you and you know you need to give your life. I'm not asking if you're religious, if you're Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Catholic. Doesn't matter. If you've gone through growth track, if you're Jewish, that's not the question. The question is, do you know the Father personally through Jesus Christ? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? It's, you know, not just a question, if you died today, where do you go? If you died yesterday, where would you be? You can know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And maybe he's shining that light. And if he is, today's the day to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you need direction. Maybe he's shining a light of conviction. He's illuminating sin. Maybe it's a time to say, God, I need to make some things right. Whatever it is, Lord, shine your light on me today. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Island Church Podcast. For more information, visit islandchurch.tv.